opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567 and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. You can't escape us. We're all over the world. Today, the 4th of June, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Jared's there with Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
And what's the national day today?
Actually, there's three good ones here. It's National Donut Day.
Mm. And by the way, I think you can go to donut places and you might be able to score a free donut.
And it's also National Cheese Day.
Whoa! You can go to a cow and beg.
And National Cognac Day.
Cognac Day.
Ooh. That might be really a thematic.
Cognac with donuts. Mm. Okay.
Donuts in the morning.
Yeah. And then.
Cheese and cognac. Cheese and little cognac. I'll bet you compare those.
Well, what's the weather look like?
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to be here on this Friday edition of Free Fire Radio. It's Linda Bott this morning along with my sidekick, Carl. How you doing? 102 today. That's going to be our highs. Mostly clear tonight with our overnight lows of 66. Saturday calls for 100 degrees. I don't know if you're going to power wash this weekend, make it an early one. Saturday night calls for mostly clear with a low of 63. Sunday, sunny with a high of 94. Sunday night, clear skies with our temperatures of 58. As we progress to next week, the national forecast calls for Monday with around 88, and look at this, Tuesday, 82. Beautiful, beautiful weather ahead of us, and the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a locally owned, veteran-owned business out of Anderson. We love the Kinney family. They've been continuing on offering excellent service to the North State, 365-3793. And it is Friday morning, so we love the fact that we partner with Haven Humane. And with us this morning is our beautiful Amy, who brought just a different kind of furry critter that we get here in the studios.
I did. I decided I was going to bring something a little funner today. Not that the dogs and cats I bring aren't fun, but I have Niles with me today, and he is a little guinea pig. Niles is really cute. He's like a little chocolate bar. He's like a chocolate-colored guinea pig. So he's got the short, sleek hair, and he is only, I think, we have him about 2 years old. It's kind of hard to age guinea pigs, but
Wait to his birthday party and count the candles?
I know. They make such great pets. They're really fun. It's kind of hamsters don't have, like, the best temperaments. They can get temperamental, but guinea pigs are actually really well, like, do really well with children. They make good first-time pets. They teach responsibility, and they're a commitment because they do live, you know, up to 8 years in captivity, so.
And when you have a hamster, do you...
Gerbil.
What do you keep it in?
It's a cage. Or it's a guinea pig. But you
keep it in a guinea pig. Hamsters go in the circle. They're
right,
smaller.
Yes.
This is a small cat.
Yeah, these ones need a little bit more space than a hamster would. But unlike like rabbits, they're a lot less maintenance. They're lower maintenance than like a rabbit would be as far as like the amount of space that they need. It's one of those misconceptions. Rabbits actually don't do well in cages and need to be kind of bigger places.
Yeah. Now, this guinea pig, you know, you made a real good point here. If you've got a child that wants a pet, and it makes the greatest little noises.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's soothing.
It's very sweet.
At the shelter that they sounded like a bubble maker. Like, they reminded us of those that, like, just hum of a bubble maker. Because sometimes when they all get together, they just purr. It's really cute. And they chirp and they squeak when they're interacting with each other. They're very, like, social animals.
Uh-huh.
So anybody who's looking to adopt this cute one, we're really hoping that you have others at home.
Or you take both. How many do you have?
We just have one left.
Aww.
Yeah, we normally adopt them out all together, but we had different sexes that we couldn't really do that with.
Otherwise, you'd have more guinea
pigs.
We'd have more guinea pigs.
Well, he's cute. Now, you said he has how many claws in the front and how many in the back?
So they have four toes in the front and three in the back. So it's kind of odd. You'd think they'd have more. Yeah, they're kind of a weird little creature, and they're super fun.
Aren't they diggers?
No.
Don't they live in the ground? Where did they, originally.
In captivity, they're really fine just running around.
Yeah. Well, he's really, is it a he or a she?
It's a he.
And he's very peaceful. He's just laying, like, you know, in cats, they're constantly, you know, they're moving around. He's just, what, does he just want to be held?
Yes, they do, actually. They really enjoy company, whether that's other guinea pigs or humans, which was one of the cool things about them as a pet, is they don't hate being picked up and loved on.
I'm wondering if you had a child that was, had like a, attention deficit disorder or was super hyper and having this little critter. It just is something that came to my mind. I don't know that there's something about the calming.
Yes, they are very calm. And he doesn't mind being held at all. We hold him a lot and he loves it. So any chance he gets to get out of his little enclosure and hang out with us, he loves
it. Well, you know, the part you made about a child with their first pet, this is really good because they can love on it. It's, you know, it's, they're just cuter than hell.
They are.
But it teaches them responsibility. Maybe gets them ready for that next step up.
And, you know,
to get a dog or something.
And they do require, you know, care.
Yeah.
They need vitamin C. They do not produce vitamin C on their own. So they either need a vitamin C supplement or to make sure that you're incorporating that into their diet.
Into their diet.
One of the really fun things about them is that they love veggies, and watching them eat is really cute. And every morning when I get to Haven, they're in kind of like our hallway towards the cats. They have been like trained to see me. I say good morning when I walk into all the cats, and they just start making the craziest noises because they know I'm bringing them their
carrots. Do you want to give them their sugar snap peas.
I'm bringing them, you know, I keep like little baggies of veggies in the fridge at work just so I can give them their morning snacks.
Maybe
and they love watermelon.
Maybe this little guinea pig needs to be the office guinea pig. When you have them in a cage and they poop, it's a little poop. They can't be housebroken, obviously.
Is it like a rabbit poop?
It's a little bit smaller than a rabbit
poop.
Okay.
And so you don't want to keep them in a cage. So you would like an enclosure,
Cages,
a crate? Like
cages
a,
are totally fine for them, but
like
if they have a large place to run around.
Yeah.
Like a
kid's room.
Dog cage?
Yeah.
A kid's room.
And they're not going to escape. Are they escape artists?
Well, I mean, they are like, they could escape if they had
chance. They're like, I had a turtle once.
And he used to jump out of the thing all the time.
I kept him in the backyard. He just disappeared for a year. And then he came back. We have no idea where he was.
Yeah, it happens.
Okay, now how do you adopt? No, what's the guinea pig's name?
His name is Niles. So we had oh my goodness, I'm blanking completely on the name of the show. Frasier. There we go. I could think of Seattle Talk Radio.
Yes.
Scrambled Eggs.
Frasier. No. Great show. Niles was your brother.
Yes. So we had Niles. Daphne was the female that we had. Yeah. So we did a little.
Okay.
Cute
now,
theme.
One of our listeners has said, hey, look, during rodeo week, we could dress him up in a little cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Little cowboy.
Yeah. We actually have a tiny sombrero. I was trying to find to take his photos in, and I couldn't find our tiny, tiny sombrero.
Okay, how do we adopt Niles? How do people adopt Niles?
You give us a call, 241-1653. Adoptions are done by appointment. Our guinea pig adoption fee is really small, so
they're not
shipped. Like $5.
They're not shipped.
No. No, they're not.
Okay, moms and dads, that this could be a really great first pet. And I tell you what, he is adorable.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah, put him on the table and see what happens.
He's just... Oh my gosh.
Yes.
They have really good ears.
They're like,
they're so thin.
They're like maybe 8 inches long and weigh up, I don't know what, 1.5 pounds, 2 pounds.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Amy. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, hon.
Thank you.
That is just a, you know what?
I've never owned anything but a horse or a dog. I never had cats. I've had dogs and horses.
They have big fat bellies.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that would fit in.
Oh, my God. He's so cute.
Okay. All right. We got to take a quick break here. You know, Amy, thank you so much. It's always good seeing you again. And I hope Niles, finds a wonderful home today.
I feel like he will.
I think he will.
He's a popular little guy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh,
yes. And coming up after the break, we have a first-time edition of, well, we call it like a person on the street, woman on the street.
Girl. We want to know, but she's going to have all of the information.
And she's actually interviewed live people on the street about some very topical issues. And we can't wait to introduce you when we come back after these messages.
And this portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms has been in business now 11 years. Locally owned, locally operated, great gunsmith. The only place I buy guns is from John Bastiani. 2539 Larkspur, he keeps a selection of guns and ammo there. You know, how the man does it, I'm not sure. But you need to give him a call at 222-8222. 2539 Larkspur, Bastiani Arms, open Tuesday through Saturday. We'll be right back.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Are you looking for a new career opportunity? Well, look no further. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place for you. If you like a fun and exciting team atmosphere, then check out the opportunities at Wind River Resort and Casino. We offer competitive wages, but also extensive benefit packages. Where else can you receive 15 paid holidays, including your birthday, paid vacation and sick leave, health, dental, and vision benefits, and a 401k retirement plan with a 7% match? To see all open positions at Wind River Resort and Casino, visit careers at windriver.com. Benefits vary depending on job classification.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE. Or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
It's Friday, and now it's time for a brand new segment, Talkorama with Maria Donna. Hi, I'm Maria Donna. Throughout the week, I interview nearby residents and ask them how they really feel about what's happening around them.
Yeah, and good morning, and we have Maria Donna with us today. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Oh, and we're so happy to have you here.
This young lady is an accomplished, all a variety of things, but in the media, especially.
Yeah, and that's correct.
Is a proud immigrant from the Philippines.
The Philippines. Yeah.
Yeah.
What we love too, Carl, is that we are so excited to have representation of all peoples, and we love immigrants, of course. We come from a family of immigrants, and to have you here and to approach us, and that we can give you where you can go out there. I think you're so brave to go out to the people on the street and ask them a topical question.
Yes.
Okay. So what'd you ask them this week?
So I went around town and asked the residents of Reading questions about COVID-19, which is one of the hottest topics of discussion, not only locally, but also in nationally and even globally.
Well, you know, it's funny. One of our friends said, hey, you know, a young lady from your station asked me a question out on the
Sundial Bridge. Walking, doing her morning walk with her friends.
Okay. Now, what was the question?
I asked them if they got vaccinated against COVID, of course, and if not, would they get vaccinated in the future? And then I followed up with asking if they think they need to show proof that they got vaccinated when they go to stores, establishments, and or restaurants.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. That's nice. Okay. So let's start running them. Jared, let's go.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name?
Bonnie McConnell.
Hello, Bonnie. I have two questions for you. First question is, did you get vaccinated? And if not, would you get vaccinated?
We did get vaccinated, but we primarily got vaccinated because my husband's son was very adamant about us doing that. Otherwise, I may not have. I think for people our age, I think that's fine. I certainly wouldn't recommend it for young people at all, particularly young women.
Do you care to tell us why?
I just don't think we know enough about the vaccine.
Okay.
And there's some questions about fertility that can impact a young woman.
All right. Second question. do you think you need to show proof of your vaccination?
No.
Why not?
I think that's very intrusive. We know how to take care of ourselves, and I think people that are not vaccinated will be considerate of other people.
Okay. Do you want to add anything else?
No.
Thank you so much,
You're
Bonnie.
Welcome.
82 years old.
Lillian, you're 82 years old, and you haven't got vaccinated yet. Why not?
Because I read a lot about the vaccination, mm-hmm. and like Bonnie, I feel it's not sure yet.
It's not safe. It's not safe?
Yes.
How many years do you think you have to wait for it to be safe?
Well, I don't know, but I want to hear how many people get a problem and see if I have to get the vaccination. Otherwise, I haven't worn my the pad for very long. My mask, yeah. And I'm French, I'm not American. And that's the thing.
That's understandable. And do you think, if you ever get vaccinated, do you think you have to show proof of your vaccination? Why not?
Because it's my idea of getting vaccinated, and I don't need to have a paper saying she's vaccinated or she's not vaccinated.
Okay. Thank you, Lillian. What's your name?
My name is Karen.
Karen.
Uh-huh.
And Karen, did you get vaccinated?
I did not.
Would you get vaccinated?
I would not.
Why not?
I don't see a reason to get a vaccination for a sickness that I'm 99.8% liable to, you know, survive anyway. And it seems to me that there's a lot of adverse reactions to the vaccines. I'm not willing for that.
Have you heard a lot of negative results?
I have, yes.
What are those results? Or
Well, people can get very sick. Mm-hmm. Some people have died from the vaccine. And I just really, if I get the COVID, I am strong enough to survive it. So.
Do you think, like her, do you think you need to wait a few more years, or are you not totally getting the vaccine? Is there any chance in the future that you're going to get it?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, if you ever get, if you ever change your mind, do you think you need proof to like, show everyone
that you're
vaccinated?
Absolutely not. That's against the Constitution. It's against HIPAA. It's against freedom. So, no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sarah Pastoriza. Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Did you get vaccinated against COVID?
I did, yes.
You did. Why?
Because I'm a healthcare worker.
Oh, hi. So is it required?
Yes.
What do you think about the vaccine against COVID?
I think it's great. I mean, if a lot of people get vaccinated, we can take away the whole mask up thing. So the more people get vaccinated, I feel like the more freedom we have now trying to travel outside of the U.S. I know a lot of people want to. And I'm one of those people that would like to
to travel.
Yes.
Do you think it's 100% effective?
For most people, yes. I know my sister, she got her vaccine, and they checked her antibodies, and she didn't have any. And she's immunocompromised, so I can understand why she wouldn't have that many antibodies, since her immune system is very low. So her physician had told her to get a booster shot 6 months after her second dose, so...
Okay.
There's some people that will have antibodies, some people won't. It just depends on the immune system.
Mm-hmm. I know I said I only have like a couple of questions, but I'm going to ask one more.
Okay.
Do you think that you need to show proof of vaccination?
I feel like you don't have to. I feel like people would just say, oh yes, I've been vaccinated, and you don't really need to show proof. But I know some others will say, will lie and say, yes, I've been vaccinated, but I don't know, it's up to them.
So do you think it's an invasion of privacy?
I feel like, yeah, it is. Because, I mean, I don't have to tell people, hey, I've been vaccinated with, you know, hepatitis vaccine. I don't need to show that. Or, hey, I've been vaccinated for HPV. I don't need to show that.
Okay. So do you want to say something else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thank you so much. Hi, can you state your name?
Courtney.
Hello, Courtney. Good morning. Did you get vaccinated against COVID?
I did not.
You did not? Why not?
I just haven't needed to. If I need to soon, I will. Like, if I want to travel or whatever. But I just don't feel the need to at the moment.
Would you get vaccinated if you...
Yeah, if it comes to it and I need to, like, because I want to travel. That would be the main reason, I think, to get it for me.
Do you think the vaccine is effective against COVID?
I don't really know.
So why are you going to do it? Is it just for requirements,
yeah.
Your travel requirements?
Yep, basically.
Okay. So do you think you need to show proof of your vaccination? For example, if you're going to Walmart or any other establishment?
Like, do I think that should be how it...
Do you think you need to show proof that you got vaccinated against COVID?
I mean, I don't like that, no.
Why not?
I don't know. It just seems weird to go, like, Walmart, just to go get something random and have to prove that you got a shot. I don't know. Okay, I'll fix it in just a second.
Do you have any other opinion about COVID? What do you think about it?
I mean, no, I don't really have, like, I think it's real, obviously. I'm not against the vaccine. I don't see it being necessary for me. Like, I'm 27. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a thing I need to do right now. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah.
Should we go over? Are there more? Yes, there are more.
There's five more.
Do we want to come back?
Take
an early break?
Yeah, we don't have a 7:30 guest. You know what? Already, though,
interesting.
Maria Donna, that what I'm seeing here is I know that there's some educated people out there with these answers, and because I knew one of them. But to hear what they're saying, and so what I'm getting right now is 100%. People say, I don't want to show proof. It's a violation of my personal rights. It's a violation of HIPAA, you know, and this thing where they're, you know, you've got to show proof of vaccination. And I'm quite surprised at the number of people. Well, maybe I shouldn't be because, you know, Redding, Shasta County has had less people being vaccinated. But I find this very interesting, like this. And once you got in there.
Well, let's take a break when we come back.
And they had kids and skateboards going by, so it's great.
I'm curious to know, first of all, if there were men, and then I'm also curious to know who was out of state. So I don't know if we covered those at all, but we'll have a surprise when we come back here on KCNR.
That might be a good question, or a good question for the next time. Are you from, where are you from type thing.
Yeah.
So this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, and like Maria Donna and her questions. They are local, and in this case, locally owned, locally run, and a local board of directors. Three branches, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, of course, at 1845 California Street, and the main branch in the Cobblestone Shopping Center, 192 Hartnell Avenue. Community, that's what they are. They invite you to experience how they move local dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. 7:31 in the morning and 74 degrees out there. We'll be right back.
Shasta County, my name is Alyssa McEwen, and I'm leading the effort to recall three of our Shasta County supervisors. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood by signing our petition. This allows the public to vote in an upcoming election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We're tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and a failure to defend our county against corrupt politicians like Gavin Newsom. It's time for a recall so we can restore Shasta County to accountable, transparent, responsible government. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Redding with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. For this month, we're reviewing Arturo Fuentes Hemingway Classic. With curves of a supermodel, this Perfecto has a superbly balanced, toothy, and attenuated Cameroon wrapper, and pairs exquisitely with a complex filler and binder that indulges the palate with citrus, coffee, cocoa, and cedar. Come down to the shop for your Arturo Fuente Hemingway Classic today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Redding.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Shasta County, my name is Melissa Magana, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
I've got you under my skin.
Is that like a vaccination shot?
Classic.
I was, what I was going for.
There you go. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station. And depending on which side or which day you're listening to, or your insurrectionist radio, or your communist news network, according to things that people send me. Anyway, but we here are like the Switzerland of the airwaves. 7:35 in the morning, 74 degrees out there. In this portion of the show, brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst, he has been one of our sponsors forever. Since the beginning, I think. And you know what? He is, besides just being a great guy, he is a total professional. He will fix your windshield. He'll give you a free consultation. But when he does fix it, he guarantees it for life. Quality workmanship. He's not going to take chances with the safety of you or your family. Whether it's a little bitty chip that could turn into a crack, or a crack up to 24 inches in length. You're not going to be disappointed. Give Jeff a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 South Market Street. And it is a better known business.
Currently 75 degrees in the downtown studios. We are here with our new segment, Talk-O-Rama with Maria Donna. And Maria just randomly went out on Sundial Bridge. So we just want to share with you, if you're just tuning in, there is no underlying, one way or the other. Maria is brand new to our station. We're very excited to have her. It's so professional what you're doing. And she's approached randomly strangers on the Sundial Bridge.
Which, by the way, is very courageous.
Absolutely brave. Thank you. Brave of you. So far, we've had five different individuals that you've contacted saying, have you had the COVID shot? Let's go on with you, and then we'll go to the live segment.
How do you pick them, Maria?
I just randomly pick them.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, how many times were you turned down?
I was rejected twice, which
that's
was
it.
Low.
Well, you know why? It's because you are very pleasant looking. You walk up. did you have that little thing around your neck that we give you for KCNR?
I actually, yes, I did.
Did you? Okay. Well, good. So, that could be good or bad, too. All right. So, let's go on with the rest of them. What else do you have here?
Yes. I just want to say that it was very interesting because I got mixed responses from these people that I interviewed. And it makes sense because I interviewed people from different age groups. I had interviewed elderly people, some teenagers, some parents with their kids. Well, and there was one working in the healthcare field.
Yeah. Okay, let's go.
Let's go on with the interviews.
Good morning. Please state your name.
It's Bill Colton.
Hi, Bill. Did you get vaccinated against COVID?
Yes, I did.
Why is that?
It seems to be the smart thing to do personally and for everybody else.
Do you think the vaccine against COVID is 100% effective?
According to the research, it seems to be.
So you trust the research?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you think that you have to show proof of your vaccination if you go to, for example, Walmart or any other establishment?
It hasn't happened yet. I hope that it doesn't happen. I hope that we can count on the honor system, that people will be honest. But do I believe that's going to... I believe that we will not be forced to show proof, but I don't believe everybody's going to be honest.
Do you think that's going to be a problem?
God, I hope not. I hope not.
Okay. What do you think about the pandemic?
Well, it's a shame that it... Well, I think we should have expected it based on SARS and some of the previous viruses that have happened. But it certainly has been a wake-up call for people.
All right. Thank you so much for your time,
sure.
Bill.
That's good. Those were some good answers.
Hi, Denise. Hi. Good morning, Denise. Did you get vaccinated against COVID?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because I have some underlying conditions, and I just believe in order to get back on track, it's just smart to get the vaccination.
Understandable. And do you think you have to show proof that you get vaccinated against COVID?
I think in certain situations, it's I would say so. Flying, for example. I think anytime someone, a business or anybody who owns anything, I think they have the right to ask because they want to keep their business safe. So I'm just going to kind of go with the flow in terms of what folks who are running businesses
mm-hmm.
request.
All right. What can you say about the pandemic? Has it affected you drastically?
Well, I was a teacher when it started, and so it did affect me a lot at that time and my kids. And then I retired at the end of 2020, so last school year. So fortunately, I had planned to retire anyway. So, but it was an interesting time, but because I was retired this year, it was just a blessing to not have to feel safe at home.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blessing.
It happened for a reason after
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. Well, all right, good morning. Please state your name.
Mariela.
Mariela,
mm-hmm.
Hello, good morning. I have a few questions for you about COVID. First question is, did you get vaccinated?
Yes.
Against
yes.
COVID?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that?
Because I don't want to keep spreading. And I have my mom and my little kids that I don't want them to get sick. So,
do you think that the vaccine is 100% effective?
I don't know. I hope so. I hope that it's effective. I don't know how effective it is, but anyways, I'm trying to do my part.
That's very good. And the second question is, do you think that you need to show proof that you get vaccinated? For example, if you're going to Walmart or any other establishment?
I don't think so. I work in a restaurant, and I have my card on my car, just in case if somebody gets mad at me that I don't wear a mask, because since the order was that people is vaccinated can doesn't have to wear the mask,
mm-hmm.
so I have my car in the car because some people here is really, really some people doesn't care and some people is really trim. They go to the side. Yeah.
So does this card say that you're vaccinated
mm-hmm. yeah.
against COVID?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what do you think about the pandemic? Did it affect you
yeah,
drastically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did it affect you?
In my job, they cut the hours. They closed for a month. And when the quarantine came, we couldn't go anywhere or we have to stay home. And, that was horrible. I hope it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we are very hopeful mm-hmm. that it will change. Thank you so much. What is your name?
Ashley Miller.
Hi, Ashley. Did you get vaccinated against COVID?
Yes, I did.
Why is that?
I go to school with a lot of people, and I felt like it was a safe choice to do that. And being on the softball team, it was a good choice.
Okay. But did you think that the vaccine is 100% effective against COVID?
I think it's a better chance of... I'd rather get vaccinated and... not be able to get too sick if I did get COVID. And so, yeah, I do feel like it's like a higher chance of not getting COVID.
Okay. And do you think that you have to show proof that you got vaccinated against COVID when you go to establishments, like, for example, the grocery store?
I mean, I guess if they ask, yeah.
You'd be able to, you'd be okay showing proof?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Hi, Julianne. Did you get vaccinated against COVID?
Yes, I did.
And why is that?
I work at a retail store and a lot of people come through, so I just decided that it was best to get vaccinated against that because I do have family members that are high risk. So, you know, doing that and coming home, it does pose a risk of getting contracting COVID and then giving it to others. So I decided to get my vaccine for that.
That's very considerate. And do you think that you have to show proof of your vaccination?
I mean, that's kind of a gray area right now. I wouldn't mind showing it, but I know a lot of people probably would have issues with showing their personal information, which I understand, but at the same time, we're all in this together, so, you know, it's all a group effort, so as long as we pitch in and do our part, we should all be fine.
What do you think about the pandemic? Has it affected you drastically?
Not me personally. It has, like, displaced me, like, out of a job for, like, a little while, but it was easy for me to find one. For other people, I know it hasn't been so easy. It hasn't been so easy paying bills, but for me, no, it hasn't been that bad. Luckily, I've had people behind me that are able to support me and stuff like that, but not everybody has that, so...
Okay.
Well, wonderful. You know
what? I tell you what, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And then we come back. Because
yes.
I want to discuss it since this is the very first one we've
yes.
done. And ask Maria Donna questions here. One of the questions came in, were people wearing their mask when you were talking to them?
None of them were wearing their mask.
Nobody had masks on.
Nobody.
Then. Okay. This portion of the show. Brought to you by our friends over at State Granite. Mike Huber of State Granite has been doing this kind of work for, 17 years. Thousands of homes that Mike has changed their artistic level there. And his work with granite and slate and marble is just outstanding. He did our kitchen years ago, and it is still a work of art. He works by appointments only, and for a free consultation, give Mike a call at 241-STONE, EstateGranite.com. It is a better-known business, Estate Granite. We'll be right back with Maria Donna and finishing up our Talkorama with Maria Donna. Is that right?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
Good. All right, we'll be right back.
The band was jumping, the people too, mess around. They're doing the mess around.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or four-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our summer session offers flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings that easily fit around jobs and family responsibilities. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill the many positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan a cool summer of hot classes today. Summer session classes begin June 7th. Achieve more, earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
Our summer tribute series will keep you cool all summer long with live music inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. From rock and roll classics to soul to today's pop charts.
Amarillo, I'll be there.
Tickets just $18 plus fees. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club, WindRiver.com, or through our Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. All Wind River safety protocols must be followed.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Reading Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Reading Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Celebrate the Papa Bear in your life. The popular Big Daddy Burger is back at Black Bear Diner. This massive burger sports two 10-ounce patties and a 6-inch sesame seed bun. Add two onion rings, a fried egg, bacon, cheese, pickles, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and dressing, and, well, you've got a burger challenge. Want the Big Daddy but can't tackle the mountain? Try the new Little Daddy. Get both this month only at Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Reading, or order for carryout or delivery at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. And,
by that place,
you ought to hear the, you know, Linda just went total conspiracy theory here, during the break. And Maria Donna is saying, you know, you can see her eyes got wide. She said, am I still here? No. Welcome back to the show. Here's the 4th of June, 75 degrees. This is the premiere episode, so it's been going, you know, it's supposed to be like 15 minutes, but we've got the time to do it. And Maria Donna is, one of our people here, and she goes out on the street and asks questions. In this case, it's about COVID and vaccinations and having to show proof of vaccination. And the answers from everybody has been, I thought, really good.
So we had like what, 10?
10, right. Yeah.
And were they all on the bridge?
They're all on the bridge. Oh, some of them were walking on the trail.
Okay,
Was there a helicopter going over?
Something.
It was a helicopter, yes.
Okay. I was going to say.
For the last two.
But when you're up in a helicopter and you're kind of flying over, what was your take on this, Maria?
My take on this is that, for me personally, I live for today, for what's happening today. So I care about what's going to happen today and not what happened yesterday or in the future tomorrow. I'm not saying that I don't care what's going to happen tomorrow, but I focus more on what's happening right now because I'm that type of person. And if the opportunity arises that I have the chance to get vaccinated, I will take it. If it's for my safety, if it's for my family's safety, I will do it.
Okay. Now, the people that were on here, and we were kind of talking, it seems like the older your response was, the stronger it was about never showing, having to show, ID, to show proof of a vaccination. The teacher, however, thought, oh, yeah, you know, I could see that, you know, that's, you know, doing it. And, but,
The younger generation
those seem to be leaning into the fact that, yeah, we can show. And that was interesting. But it seems like just from your 10, and you can't say that that's, you know, a big sampling, but if you look at Shasta County, the number of people who have been vaccinated is lower. So that was interesting. Did you have a good time at this?
Yes, I did. Very. I had a very great time. It was very interesting. And I just wanted to say that I didn't expect to actually hear their mixed opinions about this virus. I know that people have their own views about COVID, but hearing it firsthand is actually refreshing. And I must say relieving, because I agree with most of what they said. I have my own beliefs when it comes to this issue, too. But hearing these people say what's on their mind helps me think that I'm not alone in this situation, and everyone's affected in their own way, but are trying to live normally and survive this pandemic like everyone else.
Great.
So we're now to expect you once every
Friday.
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
Oh, how now, wonderful. I'm back and ask what the next question is.
Well, if the audience, you have a question that you would like Maria Donna to ask, and it's, you know, and if it's a great question, of course, we're always looking for new ideas, and then we just turn her loose. But you did a great job on this first one. But there's so many other things that are going on in our world.
Talk-O-Rama with Maria Donna.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Okay. So every Friday we get to see you.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is wonderful. Love it.
Okay, you've got something going here, Linda.
Well, I just want to talk about that, you know, we have to always remember these people who have been, these two people who have been so generous to our community, and that Senator Maurice and Marion Johansson. Now, Turtle Bay Exploration Park is announcing the addition of a portable X-ray and ultrasound machine donated by Senator Maurice and Marion Johnson. The new machine will allow for X-rays to be performed directly in an animal's exhibit or at the Animal Recovery Center at Turtle Bay. And this is much more comfortable for the animals than being disrupted and brought out of their exhibits to a foreign off-campus location for care. This incredible equipment is a game changer for us, they say, and the animals of Turtle Bay. This allows us to teach the animals how to be a part of their own care. The vet can now come and give the animals again a full exam right there. So Sharon Clay, of course, is the curator for animal programs at Turtle Bay. And this is just an incredible thing. Once again, they're absolutely wonderful donation, and they also have been ambassadors inspired by their love of animals. The Johansons generously donated $205,000 to build the state-of-the-art facility, which is called the Animal Recovery Center. So right now I would like to give tickets away here on KCNR. Carl and I love partnering with Turtle Bay. We just have been there since the beginning. We love them. I've got a family pack for four, as well as $30 in Black Bear Diner bucks. We'd like to have you go and just enjoy these local, beautiful, wonderful, the Turtle Bay Museum and Black Bear Diner. So give us a call at 605-4567, and the first caller is going to get these tickets and a great time to be
so
out in
you're
nature.
Getting Turtle Bay and
Black Bear Diner
and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Or breakfast. Hey, Maria's still here, and we're just going to hang on here for a second. Tell us a little bit about yourself there, young lady.
I am from the Philippines. I am 26, and I also work at Willow Springs. It's an Alzheimer's care facility where we take care of people with Alzheimer's.
We've had one of our friends was there for over a year, and so I'm very familiar with Willow Springs. And when you told me you were working there, and I thought, well, you know, that's a tough job.
It is a tough job.
So
it's a good place.
But it's a good place.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice to
hear.
But that was the other part. It was a good place.
Nice to hear from the inside.
Yes. The bosses are great. The staff are great. And the residents are very sweet. And we take care of them.
From what I understand, you only had like maybe one COVID case?
Was that it?
Through this whole thing, one. And you think about this, that is just terribly remarkable.
Wonderful.
When you see other places that have had...
Keep calling again, 605-4567.
No, we have someone that got him. Phil. I couldn't tell by the look that you were giving me what...
We can't see your face because of the
Bill.
Reflection.
All right, Bill, congratulations. Come get the tickets. We'll be here this morning till about, I don't know, we'll be here this morning. So
okay,
come by.
We're going to be shut down between 11:30 and probably 1. Because everybody will be gone, but after that. So before or after that, or come in tomorrow morning and get them from Jared. Okay, Maria Donna, and you've been here, but how long have you been here?
I arrived here in August of 2020, so not even a year.
Not even a year yet here. Got a job, married, you know it. And when you applied for the job, you have got a background. You've got degrees in media and communications.
Yes, I graduated bachelor in journalism, mm-hmm. and I took 27 units of master in communication. at Polytechnic University of the Philippines.
You know, and so what I told her is, well, I hope we can hang on to you for as long as we can, but there's no doubt if some of the local agencies here, TV stations are smart, they're going to reach out to you. Now, Congressman LaMalfa is scheduled to be on at 8:05. However, his public information officer told me he's in travel mode, so he may be able to be on, he may not be able to be on, so we'll know at 8:05. So, we'll be right back after the news.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. More Americans went back to work in May, but correspondent Ken Lorman says that hiring fell short of what economists had been expecting.
Employers added 559,000 jobs last month, up from the anemic gains in April, but still only modest gains. The employment numbers seem to be further evidence that many companies are still struggling to find enough workers, even as the unemployment rate dropped to 5.8%.
The leisure and hospitality industries, big winners in last month's hiring report.
People are spending their stimulus checks. They're starting to travel again. They're starting to go out to dinner again. We did see some weakness in other parts of the economy. We saw a decline in construction employment despite the strong housing market.
PNC Financial Chief Economist Gus Fauché, President Biden calling the report great news for the economy, the recovery, and for the American people.
We have now created over 2 million jobs in total since I took office.
And he says the unemployment rate is below 6% for the first time since the pandemic hit. The Western drought has California's reservoirs at dangerously low levels.
Experts say the state's more than 1,500 reservoirs are 50% lower than they should be this time of year. And the State Department of Water Resources predicts the water level at one key reservoir, Lake Oroville, could reach historic lows by late August. The drought is making it harder for farmers to grow crops and for endangered fish species to survive. And it's tough for tourism as low water levels make the lakes less enticing for boaters. John Scott reporting.
Wall Street reacting to the May employment report with a bit of a rally underway this hour. Right now, the key averages are in positive territory. The Dow up 153 points. The S&P ahead 29, and the NASDAQ Composite Index trading 160 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Over 10 years ago, we realized how important saving family memories was, and we wanted to help. Legacy Box started from that passion and has now helped over 850,000 families digitally preserve their film reels, VHS tapes, and photos. Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Adam. What started with the two of us in a garage is now over 200 trained professionals. Legacy Box is a safe and secure way to put all your favorite family memories on an easy-to-view digital format like a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. We ship you a sturdy Legacy Box to fill with all your outdated media, safety barcodes to track your items throughout the process, and a prepaid mailing label. Legacy Box has been featured by Good Morning America and The Today Show. Not bad for two kids in a garage. That's true, Nick. And here's the best part. We always wanted to make it affordable to preserve your entire collection. So we are offering 40% off. Go to legacybox.com/LBOX to take advantage of this exclusive offer. That's legacybox.com/LBOX to save 40%. Legacybox.com/LBOX.
Two senior officials with the Organization for Economic Cooperation in Southeast Asia are on a mission to Myanmar.
The ASEAN delegation visiting Myanmar today is the first to be allowed to go there. It is low level and unlikely to get meaningful concessions from the generals. Many ASEAN governments are authoritarian themselves and uneasy about championing democracy in Myanmar. All are held back by ASEAN's long-held principle of non-interference in each other's affairs. Yet with efforts to challenge the coup at the United Nations stymied by opposition from Russia and China, ASEAN's lukewarm diplomatic efforts still represent one of the only hopes for ending the violence in Myanmar.
That's the BBC's Jonathan Head. European Union and British regulators launching dual antitrust investigations focusing on Facebook. News and analysis at townhall.com. A federal court has sided with Republican Senator Ted Cruz in a case involving personal loans he made to his own election campaign.
The D.C. Court of Appeals ruled that Cruz does have the right to repay $260,000 worth of loans to himself from donations raised after the election. Cruz challenged a Federal Elections Commission rule capping such repayments at $250,000. D.C. Court of Appeals Judge Naomi Rao wrote, "The loan repayment limit runs afoul of the First Amendment." Cruz had put $260,000 of his own money into his 2018 reelection campaign. He sued the FEC in April of last year as he attempted to repay the debt. Bob Agner reporting.
Former President Trump says he's glad he didn't take Dr. Anthony Fauci's advice on some virus-related issues. Mr. Trump speaking out after seeing some of the thousands of Fauci emails released this week, thanks to the Freedom of Information Act. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It is Friday, the 4th of June. It is 8:05 in the morning. And the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community courage. And you know what? Shasta Regional Medical Center. If I was in an emergency, I want you to make sure I get there because I know the people. I know Taggart, who is head of the emergency room there. I know what they're like.
I was in that emergency room.
Yeah.
Let's see.
A year ago, March.
And, wow. There were only two people in the emergency room at that particular time. And, they brought me back into, you know, one of the little private areas in the back with a curtain. And they worked on me for I don't know how long. But my point is that I'll never forget there were two nurses. Both of them sang. What guy was, I don't know what he was, but he, you know, it was just interesting. Mm-hmm. How kind and how much they loved it so much. I'm going to give you the weather right now. Currently 80 degrees. Boy, did that just pop up. And we're going to have 102 today with our overnight lows of 66. Tomorrow calls for 100 degrees and overnight lows of 63. Sunday, sunny with a high of 94. Sunday night, 58. Monday calls for 88, overnight lows of 53. And Tuesday, 82. What beautiful weather ahead of us. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
And let's go to the phones with Susan Eastman.
Good morning, Susan. What's happening
Good
in the market?
Morning. Well, the major averages are in the green this morning in early trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 158 points at 34,735. The S&P 500 positive 31 points at 4,223. And the NASDAQ Composite gaining 169 points at 13,783. The three most actively traded stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, AMC Entertainment up 29 cents, trading at 51.61, Ford up 2 cents at $16.01, BlackBerry down 94 cents, trading at 14.96. Stocks of local interest, Merchants Bank of Commerce, down a penny at 14.78, Walmart up 31 cents at 141.91, and Best Buy positive 21 cents, trading at 115.77. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 1.574%. And for commodities, gold is up $21 an ounce at $1,901. Silver, positive 34 cents at 27 an ounce. And crude oil at 42 cents, trading at $69 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President, Investment, Stifel, Nicholas & Company, member SIPC and NYSE for KCNR.
Oh, hey. Susan, thank you so much, and you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, you too.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's Susan Eastman. You can reach Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199, located at 2701 Park Marina Drive, Stifel Investments. Okay, Terry, good morning.
Good morning, you two. How are you
Thank
doing today?
You,
hey,
Terry.
We're living the dream, man.
Anyway, I wanted to make an announcement on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on Jefferson State of Mind. Wynn and I will be interviewing Carlos Zapata for the full hour. We'll have Carlos Zapata on for the full hour.
Well, you know what?
Good.
That's good. I want to get Carlos on.
That's great.
You know what? I've met Carlos in passing. I would love to talk to him also.
There's been so much information out there that's...
That's a good word, information.
It's controversial. So he'll be right here on KCNR being interviewed at Sunday at 9.
Yeah, we've interviewed him three times before, but this one I think will be a little bit different in the fact that we're going to... We'll ask some questions, and you know, as most people know, he had an incident last night at his daughter's graduation.
No, what happened?
Apparently, he was served that restraining order at his daughter's graduation.
Okay.
Well, let's let him talk about it in his words on Sunday, and we'll listen in.
You know, I saw something that he'd been served, but I, you know, what you hear those things all the time, and
well, some stuff is true and some stuff isn't.
Oh, right.
You know, but
for everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad that you can't. Well, you know what, too, is there's. Okay, I'm not going to get into it.
No, that's not.
But right now. I'm not going to get into it right now, but we're doing some research ourselves here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's been a lot of things that have happened. You know, we'd like to get Stephanie Bridget on our program also.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sure she will when she can.
I mean, just a couple of questions that I'd like to ask. I don't think that they're demeaning.
No, you told me what they were, and they are not a demeaning question.
No, not at all.
But there are questions like, you know, and for people that heard Chief Bill Shuler on the show.
Yes.
It's frankly, and though he may not have been as emphatic about it on the air, having to put his investigators on a misdemeanor where two punches were thrown, one by one person, one by the other, nobody was damaged. That, and then it has to be handled by the now the DA has it, but as Chief Shuler also pointed out, that this is a misdemeanor, and it's a minor misdemeanor really, and they are so busy, just like he is, but they're so busy over at the DA's office.
Are they?
When are they going to get to it? On the other hand,
I mean, that's,
I don't know,
that's the
but on the other hand, the question is that what are they investigating the red, white, and blue print about, or at least Melissa.
Well, they're not.
They're not
investigating the red, white, and blue print at all. Nothing at all with them.
Okay.
The red, white, and blue print and Recall Shasta are two entirely different organizations. It's
that's true.
Radio station and another. It's that different.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, they're not investigating the red, white, and blue print, nor are there any grounds really to investigate a legitimate LLC that's a for-profit company.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, there are just some questions I think that need to be asked, and I know that they can be framed in a way that are polite and framed in a way that the answer is not anything to do with we can't talk about it, ongoing investigations,
but,
and that's
not
what I want to talk about.
But you said something, Terry, that's really, really important. We can frame questions courteously, or without rancor. And, you know, and people can do that, and they should do it that way. They shouldn't be like, you know, it's a all-out attack when you're asking a question. I'm not saying you're doing that. That's not what I'm saying. But that's the secret, I believe, is if you're courteous and you ask a question, then, you know, the people, you expect a courteous answer or no answer, but at least you find out something. Many times we've asked people questions that they just don't answer. And after the third time, you know, circling back, you realize they're not going to answer. Our listeners are pretty bright. They know they're not going to answer, and that's an answer in itself. So, you know that. You've interviewed Lutz.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the thing is that procedure, preference, what takes precedence over something else, those kinds of things, those kinds of questions have nothing to do with investigation. They have to do with policy and procedure. And those are the kind of questions that I think need to be asked, and I think it's important because it's not only about a couple of different issues, but it gives everybody an idea of how the system really works. What is the most important thing? What is the least important thing? And how do you line those things up, especially when you're backed up as much as the DA's office? Oh, my gosh,
you're so
backed up.
We're getting questions now in the chat room. Would you ask a couple questions, and I'll be listening, or I'll try if I'm not on the range. Will this be something where he has to surrender his weapons, one? And, you know, because I guess it depends on what kind of restraining order it is.
I can only guess.
Well, I don't know. See if it's, you know, because...
Well, if it's civil, then no.
Right.
But then again, you don't know. I mean, we're trying to figure out what is again, what's procedural, what's actually, in a lot of cases, frankly, in this county, what's legal and what isn't. I mean, it's sort of like, what takes preference over something else when, you know, your office is admittedly just overworked and overwhelmed, and then all of a sudden something happens and boom, within a day it absolutely stops because of some pressure. I mean, there's just some questions that need to be answered.
There are questions, but these are, a lot of times we have our own impressions about things.
Yes, sir.
And the
hardest
part about asking questions is to put ourself aside. To try and get to that. But I would, teaching concealed carry, we talk about red flags, we talk about restraining orders and things that can happen. But this would be interesting. I'm going to try and tune in. So thanks a lot, buddy.
I will listen to it, though.
And here's the best.
I do have one quick thing that's kind of fun.
Okay.
Sally and I have invented a new Olympic sport, Linda.
What is that?
Okay, now you got to hear this. This is good. First of all, you go to the hardware store or the dollar store and you buy those noodles. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Then you invite your friends over, and you get some Corona. You put the Corona in an ice chest where it's almost ice chips inside. You put the lime in, and what you do is you go in your pool and you wallow. That's the name of this sport. You wallow on those, and you visit with one person with your Corona, and then the next person, and the next person, and you wallow through the pool all day long. And we think it has the merit of an Olympic sport. What do you guys think?
It's the best thing ever
those,
in a long
those noodles,
time.
Those noodles, we've used them out on the lake.
Oh, they're great.
And the only problem is the more Corona you drink, the harder it is to stay on the noodles. So.
Well, not only that, but that when I first started, I only needed one noodle. Now I need two noodles.
Well, that's an order you get a lot of times. But see, at least you're not a three-noodle person, Terry.
Not yet.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Terry.
Okay.
For people that, we all have our foibles, okay?
We all have our foibles.
And people out
I
there.
I have mine. You have yours.
People that don't know Terry, or they only know him from one side, they don't know that he is a humorous guy. And for people that don't think so, he does have a heart. We all are passionate about certain things. I am very passionate about certain things, and I will take, and it takes very little to set me off on it. But a person is made up of a whole lot of different things. And I'm just using Terry because he called as an example. But it's on both sides. Yeah, Christian Gardner has many things about Christian that are really cool. And there are many things about Christian that can upset people. But it's like everybody. It's the whole person. And they are not one way totally. So,
and on that note, this is your community radio on KCNR 96.5 FM. And we are also streaming live and 1460 AM, of course. We are community radio.
Okay, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction is the largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California, teaching in over 46 different places, not just CCW, but if you just want to learn how to shoot a pistol, we can do that. If you want to learn tactical carbine, we can do that. Shotgun, all of those things, and private classes. I've been teaching a number of private classes lately. If you want to have a private class, just give me a call, find six of your friends or eight of your friends, and we'll have a private class at your leisure in air conditioning, and then we'll go out to the range. All of these are offered at Northern Firearms Instruction. Learn more at usgunpro.com. We'll be right back.
Wake up, Maggie. Shasta County, my name is Kathy Stainbrook, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickard, and Chimente. We will be gathering signatures at local events, shops, in your neighborhood. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org today.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, offers only the highest quality safes, delivery, moving, and repair service available. They carry several brands, including High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few. High Noble has gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th. And one of four energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WindRiver.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Shasta County, my name is Melissa Magana, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comente. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
All right.
Needs now is love, sweet love. Happy Earthlings, you need love. You need love in your life. You need to open up your soul to people. Love people. Know that with a few exceptions, and I've known a few exceptions, they are good things about most everybody.
Yeah, I believe that.
They may be very hard to find. It may be very, very hard to find. There are few truly evil people in the world, but they are out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that's 90% bad. But maybe they take care of their mother. Maybe they love their family. And the rest of them is their total jerks. But, and I've been in so many situations when you don't think about the good parts of people because mm-hmm. you are there to destroy the other part.
The enemy.
But, and it was very hard at times to convey to your Marines who are out there, they're in firefights all the time, that their enemy were people and not, a spawn of Satan, that they too are people. And because as soon as you forget that the other, that you're the people that, yeah, you're literally fighting and trying to kill us, trying to kill you. They're people. When you put them to a point where they are no longer humans is when you have atrocities.
Well, you know, I don't even want to go to the dark side on that one, because I conjures the things conjured up in my mind about human behavior in certain areas of the world just make me feel like those people are just super evil. Okay, now I really want to talk about something that I feel is woke, and it's a headline today, and why don't we just, you know, again as part of erasing history, because people have behaved or acted in a manner. So this one is about Picasso. Museum protesters denounce Picasso's treatment of women. Okay, I can understand you don't believe, you know, he was not nice to women. But what about Hemingway? What about certain, you know, we can go through the annals of history on both women and men that could have done horrible things to spouses, to human, to life. A professor from Barcelona Art School has staged a protest at a museum dedicated to Pablo Picasso, intending to shed light on the Spanish painter's sometimes callous behavior towards women. Maria Lopez and seven of her female students appeared at the Picasso Museum wearing T-shirts that read "Picasso, Woman Abuser," and others that referred to Dora Maar, a French artist who is believed to have suffered abuse by Picasso during their relationship in 1930s and 1940s. The protest last week echoed the global debate on men's treatment of women led by the Me Too movement, which includes reassessing the conduct of deceased personalities as well as the living. In Spain, women's rights have moved to the political forefront in recent years after several high-profile rape and abuse cases. Lopez, 45, said she wanted to make a low-key protest to say that the museum was not putting enough focus on Picasso's female relationships, in particular in Maar's work and her troubled life after the breakup.
So now we have people who have been dead for 100 years. Well, we're doing it already. You know what? We're protest. As long as they just protest, everybody has a right to protest. I applaud their right to protest. As long as they don't take paint and throw it on the Picasso paintings, okay? How would you like to have been this Yemen fisherman? They're out there. They're poor. They find a floating whale, and it's dead out in the ocean. And they open it up, and it's got 278 pounds of whale vomit in its stomach. And you think to yourself, oh, whale vomit. Well, whale vomit, there's another word for it. It's called ammogris. Ammogris is one of the most valuable items in the world. And they received $1.5 million for those 278 pounds.
What's ammogris?
Is used in perfumes and fragrances to keep the to hold the fragrance. And ammogris only comes from... Now, they found other ways of doing it, too, but... The ammogris from a whale, it's made up of things like octopus and squid beaks that they can't digest and other things. So it stays in them until they vomit it out into the ocean. Well, this one obviously hadn't done it yet. So that 278 pounds of whale vomit is worth $1.5 million. That's how
valuable,
rare and valuable it
well,
is.
Well, rare to these days, but there would have been a period of time. In fact, when we do make our trek over to Trinidad, some of these whaling communities this is strictly because they needed the lamp oil and they needed the oil for perfume.
Yeah, ammogris for the perfume. But you're right, the whale oil, of course, we know what's happened. You know, they've outlawed whaling and all that, except in certain areas that you can still, you know, certain countries, even though they've really cut back too.
What does that have to do with Picasso? You just went right into whales.
Because you went right into Picasso. So I went into the next subject.
Okay, all right. You have a subject. You didn't have a comment on that about
I did say that. I said, as long as they don't throw paint.
Okay.
People can protest it, you know, and that's fine. You know, again, though, when you put today, you know, somebody abusing a woman or a woman abusing a man.
Yes.
That's wrong. I mean, it was wrong back then and it's wrong today. However, to go back, and you want to protest what he did, that's fine. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't destroy this man's work. Though Picasso never sold a painting while he was alive. He had his, and the other thing they didn't say is that Picasso had mental problems. I mean, strong mental problems. I mean, hell, he cut his ear off.
So that was Van Gogh.
Okay, you're right. Picasso, though, you're right, and Picasso was still alive, really, yes. You know, into this interesting commercial. But still, as long as you don't destroy something, destroy history, because you learned from that, so you can use it. That Pablo Picasso, that was Van Gogh that never sold a plane. I'm sorry, Picasso. But not destroying something. It's like destroying statues. It's part of history, you know, if, you know, put it in perspective, but you destroy it and it, you know, I mean, it can't be used then as a learning tool, as a learning moment.
And one more thing in the news. All right. Remember how, I never did take the Concorde flight, which was, you know, the supersonic fast.
Concorde.
Exactly. So it completed its last trip between New York and London in 2003, but the allure of ultra fast air travel never quite died out. So when discussing, President Biden's infrastructure in April and on Thursday, United Airlines said it was ordering 15 jets that can travel faster than the speed of sound from Boom Supersonic, a startup in Denver. The airline said it had an option to increase its order by 35 planes. Boom, which has raised $270 million from venture capital firms and other investors, said it planned to introduce aircraft in 2025 and start flight tests in 2026. It expects the plane, which it calls the Overture, to carry passengers before the end of the decade. It's already slipped a little bit at once and will have to overcome many obstacles, including securing approval from the Federal Aviation Administration. But the deal is United's last attempt to position itself as risk, shaking up the industry, and it's just getting back on its feet. After this devastating pandemic, the airline announced a $20 million investment in an electric air taxi startup.
Well, you know, the thing about the Concorde was it's so fast and it could get people over there, you know, into England and France.
How long was it from New York to Paris?
Well, why don't you look that up?
I thought it was like 6 hours.
Oh, no, not with the Concorde. But see, the Concorde really cut it down. So they're talking about hyper fast. I mean, not Star Wars hyper fast. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, and great people down there. They'll help you design those pieces of jewelry that you want to design and build. Plus, they have a great selection of jewelry there at very fair prices. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, across the street from Sierra Gates.
Going to be going there today. Okay, the Concorde.
Wait a
from
minute.
New York.
You are?
Yeah, because I have to pick something up that I had fixed. The Concorde from New York to London, was 2 hours and 52 minutes.
Yeah. So it cut like, what, an hour and a half? 2 hours off the flight? Okay. We'll be right back. 8:32 in the morning. 81 degrees out there. My friend's going up to about 104 today.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. And starting on Saturday, June 22nd at 8 a.m., I'll be hosting a new weekly California Adventure District radio show. There are so many great things happening in our region, and I'll be bringing them all to you every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. I'll have guests from our 12 surrounding counties, including Humboldt, Siskiyou, Trinity, Lassen, Mendocino, and many more. You will be able to plan for a great summer and fall right here in the California Adventure District. Join me every Saturday morning at 8 a.m.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians, so you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit PowerhouseSolar.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Carl with the Bob. You know, I was going to be talking about non-binary, what it means, but Congressman LaMalfa got, you know, is in between flights and has called us. Good morning, Congressman.
How are you?
Unless you want to get in that discussion with me. I'm so confused.
Good morning.
I am so confused about, you know, non-binary. I have this like a, you know, a little paragraph saying what it is. I have no idea. I am totally confused. I'm almost as confused, I'm sure, as other people are watching Congress at work.
Welcome to the show.
Sure.
Good morning.
Thank you. I suppose it's trinary in Congress or something.
Trinary in Congress.
That's good.
Okay. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
Memorial Day last weekend, and I saw that you were, I think you were in Anderson, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks for showing up for that.
Very well put together event down there. Those folks always do a very nice job.
Well, you know, it absolutely was, but there's a lot of people that didn't know what was going on. but I guess they had a good turnout, though.
They really good turnout. Yeah,
good, so. Good. I'm glad to hear it. Let me throw this in, and I know it could be a, it's just a, you know, for me it lit my fuse. The vice president tweeted, enjoy the long weekend, without what the long weekend was about. And it seems to have gotten a lot of pushback, you know, from a lot of people saying, you know what this long weekend's really about? So, I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yes, yeah, of course I saw that. I guess, you know, that's... what do they do on the actual day? I suppose it'd be the test, you know, on the Monday itself. And I know she showed up to was it Annapolis there and tried to make some jokes about batteries and solar panels or something like that on Friday or Saturday before. So, but you know, it pretty clearly shows that these are folks that don't really get it or don't really have the respect. So, but. I think the president did take part finally on something in some activities somewhere. I don't know what the vice president did. So,
well, I would, you know what, and I'm not saying she didn't. I'm not saying she didn't, but that kind of struck me as being a little cold. What's going on, sir?
Well, okay, that's pretty.
Well, no,
there
are so many, okay, let me put it this way. This infrastructure bill, and I just heard is that he may pull out the taxes on business on this infrastructure bill, President Biden.
That's the latest, you know, swing and punch in the process here. I think the Senate is upping their number from the initial $800 billion they were talking about to something closer to the trillion or right at it, you know, and President Polk. So, you know, we're still obviously miles apart with what it needs to be or what it should be. I think I'll still say this, Carl and Linda, we should not get comfortable with every time we have an idea, you know, Washington has an idea that he throws the word trillion. We shouldn't be comfortable with the word trillion. Okay? So, the size of the federal budget is already expressed in trillions, whether you want to go 3.5 or 4 or 4.5. The president came out with a $6 trillion one, so I don't really want to do much to help him become the $6 trillion man. And, what this means for further national debt that, going to come home to roost for everybody. Inflation, as you see, is already spiraling. Now, we don't have a number that you can put out like, oh, inflation is up, you know, 5 or 7%. You're seeing it unofficially in the price of lumber, which is just blowing people's minds. You know, if you had a project you were thinking about doing, you know, I was speaking with a constituent somewhere on Memorial Day, and they were going to, I think, enclose their, either add a garage or enclose a garage to basically make an extra room for their house. And that's out the window now because they can't think about affording it at these wood prices. So this has real measurable effects on middle income families like that that want to do a job like that. So don't say this is all just, oh, well, you know, we're handing out $600 checks or $1,400 checks or keeping the, unemployment dollars bumped up and running through September, which means that a lot of people aren't going back to work to do work because they can make more staying at home. So what does that do to get wood on the shelves or keep toilet paper on the shelves or, you know, intake manifolds or anything else? It's you're fighting you can't get products because of all this.
Well, let me tell you another aspect. We just heard yesterday from a friend of ours who lives in Texas. Texas is cutting people off from it, you know, unless they go out and look for work. And so they have a business where they're looking for people, and they have people that have no qualifications for that business coming in and applying for the job. And that at that point says, well, we're not going to hire you. And they sign this, you know, it's kind of like signing this piece of paper. And so these people, you know, that are kind of playing the game, I'm looking for work, but they're not really looking for work. And so they can continue to suck on the government's, can I say teat? Yes.
I think that's in bounds here for...
I think it is.
Binary day.
Yeah. So, yeah, binary day.
You're correct. That's been the game a long time, you know, and how unemployment has been, or you'll see the distribution of the food stamps program around the country. Different states do things different ways, and you see different results. Like, I want to say it was New Hampshire, where, you know, they're kind of tied together. When these benefits start to have a end window, you start seeing unemployment numbers go down as people seek work that can't, you know, and that means a lot of the population can do work. So that is presently getting these benefits. And, hey, we know we're getting through COVID. We're doing all that stuff. And isn't it interesting, though, that what a lot of people suspect about COVID is starting to come true with the way it was being weaponized, either for politics or just against people's individual choices and for government control. You know, I think almost all the counties in California are down to that lowest tier. Or
Conscient, you're breaking up. It's like it's like you're stepping away with, you know, like every other sentence.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
It's like most of the counties in the state, at least in North State, are at the lowest tier, the second lowest, and I think they still have Shasta County one bump higher than that. The rest of the counties are doing pretty good. So is Shasta County being punished because it's been a little bit more independent-minded than other ones? You know, what are the real numbers here? So people are sick and tired of the manipulation of this, and Dr. Fauci is there right in front of the distrust people have of the situation here. And, you know, you've all seen the emails that have started to come out and what the Gabe's been playing with masks and such. So when you lose that much trust in it, then people, they do get fed up.
Well, we had today, one of our people goes out on the street, and she asked the, have you been vaccinated? And if you have been vaccinated, you know, why or why not? And then the last question was, do you believe you should have to show proof of vaccination if you go to a store? And it was amazing that the majority by far said no. But then the younger they got, it seemed like, well, yeah, you know, that could be okay, you know, and it's doing this. I found that very interesting.
And that's pretty reflective, Carl.
Yeah.
The younger do tend to be more willing to comply. And we've seen, you know, the older generation used to trust their government, too. I find that with some of our rural areas. Well, that's what they were supposed to do that. Then they find out, for example, they don't have their water anymore to do their crops, or they have, you know, some regulation that's come in to just put them out of business or change what they can do in their life. And so they've seen felt that bitter, you know, sting from government not being in their best interest. But the other ones, they still have to understand what freedom is, and they don't know anything else. You know, they can complain about how bad America is while they're sitting in a coffee shop, not having to go to work, not worried about food, played on their fancy cell phone and such. You know, so that survey does not surprise me that much. And they haven't looked into the heads all day on social media or maybe in the classroom. But, well, it's up to you to do these things for COVID to be a responsible neighbor. And they're guilting folks. They're shaming folks into doing things that may not be in their best interest. So I know folks that have, gone out and gotten the vaccine without even consulting their own physician to see, like, well, are my own personal conditions the ones that are aligned with the type of vaccine or any vaccine at all? You know, is it the Johnson & Johnson single shot? You know, you hear certain things about that, or the other ones that are the mRNA-related ones. What does that mean to each person's disease? And people are just kind of sheepishly going to it and being bullied into it. And I don't believe that at all. And as far as the vaccine passport, that takes it even to another notch for a lot more people that say, you know, some might say, well, I'll do the vax, but I don't think I should have to show my papers at the border. It's mm-hmm. type of meeting, you know.
Sure.
So people, that's really offensive. I've got legislation on that saying, you know, that we're not going to require you. One bill is to not require people to do it just for basic travel in the United States, and others are, or like what you said, to be able to go into a store to have to show some kind of paper.
I saw that you co-authored legislation on that. What's, did that get passed, or is it just?
No, not yet, Carl.
No, it has. That's what I thought.
I don't think it's in the interest of the Democrat Party right now to pass legislation.
Something like that. Okay, here's a question, and this is going to be like a one word answer, I think. What's your favorite firearm that you have, that you own? I have to ask that.
I don't disclose what I have on the radio, sir.
Okay, that's fine. All right.
So how about a single barrel 410 shotgun for shooting at snakes?
There you go. That's good. I got it. Okay, the other thing is, there's been a lot of things.
They asked the question, there's a lot of them I like. And I also like that all your listeners have the choice to like anything they want and to own that same thing if they're, you know, responsible citizens, right? So,
you know, we have people that they know you stand behind the Second Amendment. They just wanted to know. Drought.
I hope that answer instills even more confidence in the privacy and importance of it.
Well, you know, it's hard to tell everybody you've got a 50 caliber machine gun mounted on your Mustang. The drought. There's an article in the paper.
It's actually on the back of the Jeep, Carl. Okay.
There's been articles in the paper that Klamath Valley, of course, up in Oregon, but it does affect our northern counties, and the water war that's starting, and the drought that's going on. Comments,
Carl. They're asking for a very, very negative outcome by making it up.
You're breaking up again. You're really breaking
sorry,
up.
Sorry, is this better?
This is now, right.
Okay. The Bureau of Reclamation, at least they listened to us last year. You have entrenched bureaucrats there that listen more to what the environmental groups and a couple of fish organizations are saying, instead of what Congress is saying and what the people are needing up there. So when you basically zero out agriculture needs up there, like anybody listening here that, you know, you're going to, if you're producing anything, like, you know, say you're a baker, right? We'll tell you what, we're going to cut your flour 100%. But go ahead and keep doing your job, you know. Just any input you need. You have a delivery service, like, well, we're going to cut your gasoline 100% for doing your deliveries. Well, you can see how quickly that means you are out of business. And so for the Klamath folks, they've been in this experiment for more than 20 years, and Bureau of Reclamation has taken water that does not belong to them. They're the ones that, you know, operate the system up there. They're taking water. It does not belong to them. The Oregon courts have adjudicated and ruled on this several points, that the water in the Klamath Basin project, that's the water that augments the natural lake there, additional surface water there, belongs to the growers as it was built by the federal government for growers, not any other purpose, not fish water, not environmental water. So there's a bigger, stronger lawsuit needs to be fought all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the federal government is out of line on this. And so, but you got, you know, you got people up there that are threatening to go tear the gates down themselves and let the water flow. So you push people hard enough on this stuff, you get negative results.
I saw that they were getting 300,000 units before, and I'm not sure what the unit was for their agriculture. Cut them to 35,000. I mean, how do you keep your business going on that? You don't.
Yeah, 300,000 acre feet was the initial meager number, and then they decided, well, we're going to cut that down to 33,000.
Okay.
Then they decided that the number, additionally, if I remember correctly, was going to be just 5,000, and 5,000 isn't enough to even bother to get the canals wet, so they're just not going to deliver it. And
wow.
Not only is it the agriculture up there, Carl, but it's also the wildlife refuges up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were up there last year, you know, working with everybody on it. And the farmers are very helpful and giving to make those things. The wildlife refuge there, you know, is a tremendous incubator for the flyway for most of California's duck population.
Yeah.
And so last year was devastated that by a lack of water. It's not a tremendous amount of water they need, but to get to most of that reserve, the ag system has to be in play. It has to be, you have to be running the water through the canals and through the system there to get it to the refuge too. And so they're trying to figure out what they can do this year. They're going to run wells that are already, you know, lower than normal to do a portion of the refuge. But agriculture, you know, there's several products that come from there that don't come from very many other sources of the U.S. They grow a lot of onions up there, but horseradish, mint. Of course, there's a lot of hay crop as well. And with all that zeroed out, where are you going to get the cattle feed? Where are you going to get those other things that people need and want? They're not going to be on the store shelves. Beef is going to have to be more at a higher premium when it's short, but it isn't going to go to the farmer because the farmer's going to have to, the rancher's going to have to dump it on the market because he can't feed his cattle anymore. We're really in a bad way.
Which means then the prices go down for people who've been raising cattle. And, I mean, but the cost of everything else, it keeps going up. But without water, it is the lifeblood. And to cut back that much is just, you might as well just tell them to put up a sign that says out of business.
Well, and I haven't even touched on the Sacramento River and Feather River in the system that goes to the farther down in the state. Shasta Dam was operated in such a way. And we haven't even touched on hydroelectric power. Shasta Dam was operated previously, I think up until a week or two ago, for about a month, where the water they were letting out of the lake was not even running through the turbines to generate power. They let about, I think, 300,000 acre feet out merely to moderate the fish water temperature in the river from water near the top of the dam. Because they wanted to save the bottom of the lake water longer so it could be colder into the season, you know, into mm-hmm. the summer, late summer and fall. So basically, Lake Shasta has turned into a fish temperature dam, and they're doing the same thing at Oroville. Soon, Oroville is down about 7 or 10 feet of elevation, I'm told the number is about, and we're going to get this verified for sure, down, when it gets down to 650 feet, which is only 60 feet to go, and it's losing about a foot per day, and it'll go faster the lower it gets, you know, as the lake gets narrower as you go down the walls. When it hits the 650 mark, they will not make hydropower anymore. And I'm just kind of doing some rough guessing that that's going to be the early part of August when that happens. What's it like temperature wise in August, Carl?
You mean the 112s, 110s?
Anywhere from 110 to 116.
Yeah.
So Lake Orville, with its six massive turbines, will not be generating power at that point because we need cold fish water. Okay, because they have to take it off the bottom of the lake at that point, and they can't run through a turbine. So the fish have won over people at Oroville and Shasta. And this during, you know, another year of drought. Now you got to remember too, 2019, these lakes were chuck full.
Yeah.
How do they run a lake down that's supposed to have a 5-year supply in it in only 2 years and do this drastic taking of ag water in the Klamath and now down in the Central Valley, which, you know, folks that have more junior water rights, they were initially promised 5%, and then just fairly recently they go ahead and taking the 5% away.
Wow.
How do you do that? How do you do that? You know,
I heard, if you don't mind, you know, for everybody, for all of our listeners, we're going to probably go a little bit beyond our regular time here. We just cut out all the commercials. But I do have to do this one because I haven't missed in 11 years in that Cypress Square Barbershop. The only place I get my hair cut, Man's Last Stronghold, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 244-9478 since they work on appointments. Best place in the world to get a haircut, according to me. Okay, Congressman, you know,
You can't cut out Man's Last Stronghold.
I can't do that. You know what? I have not missed that read in since the day we began, and I'm not, you know, I will cut other things, but I will never cut that commercial.
I almost have it memorized myself.
Good. Well, you know, you need to come down sometime, and we'll get you in there, and you can find out what's going on in the world and around here. I mean, there's a lot of information.
Well, I want to.
You've said that before. We'll set that up.
Yeah.
Okay. I read that, you know, this water thing, next Friday we're going to have a gentleman on by the name of Dr. Randy Smith. He is this man knows so much about water and salmon. And then we're going to have the guy that's in charge of the acid, complex here to talk about water. I heard, and I don't know if
you better clarify what that means to your systems. You mean the Anderson Cotton Irrigation District, sir?
Yes, sir. That's
okay.
What I mean.
Yeah.
You're right. I better. I read someplace that rice farmers, instead of growing rice, were selling their water to L.A. Have you heard that?
Well, that is a lot more involved question than that.
So, okay.
Now, water districts all up and down the valley that have senior water rights in a year like this, they can either have the water taken from them or they can make arrangements to share the water, and you're going to be compensated for it. So let's say farmers down in the valley have contracted with a district up here to say, do you have some water you can sell us? And a lot of times they will cooperate and do that. So it's really a matter of, okay, we'll put a few less acres of crop in here so other guys can save their permanent crops farther down the line. You know, because I just came from Santa Barbara area last night. We had what's called our Western Conference meeting down in Santa Maria, where we saw a lot of fire apparatus, the aircraft and such, and talked about fighting forest fire. We talked about water. We talked about a lot of things over 2 days there. And so, but that means a trip up and down I-5. There's so many ghost trees out there that have had water taken from in recent years, and I see new ones being pushed over by the dozers this time. People are not going to irrigate their land, so the water's not being sold to L.A. per se, and there's L.A. doesn't get so much water from up here as they do from the Colorado River like that. So this is a long conversation we need to have, but the enemy is not the 10% of water that goes for people use. They call it M&I, for people in urban use, manufacturing, things like that. They use about 10% of the state water grid. 40% of it is for agriculture. 50% of it is what you would call as environmental water or nature water, what have you. that number has not been reduced. They keep getting everything they want to allocate by the courts, by the environmental groups, to that. Water is rushing out through the delta almost unchecked because of the power of the Endangered Species Act and the courts behind that. Ag is taking a huge hit, and urban people are taking a pretty big hit, being asked to cut down to 50 gallons per day, 55, 40, depending on what they're in. So the average person uses, my rough stats, about 100 per day in all the things he or she does. And so you got to keep pointing the barrel right back at the environmental water that is not actually meeting goals in the delta of keeping the delta smelt going or what have you, or they're using it for salinity, trying to keep pushing nice fresh water out in order to keep salinity, saline water, ocean water, coming up into the delta. And so, you know, right now the water managers are asking for relief from that, of not having to send as much water from Lake Oroville and Lake Shasta to just do the salinity part of it. They'd like to keep a little more in there to go a little farther into the year. So when we get to Deadpool on these things, it's going to come to apparent. So, but some water is moved around by agriculture to help others in agriculture on that, but it's not going to help finish keeping swimming pools full or lawns in L.A. per se. That's a little bit dramatized sometimes.
Well, you know what? That leads me to something else. San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, they have something called purple pipes that recirculate the water, and you can use for agriculture, all that kind of stuff.